We're just glad to be here today in the presence of God in pre-service prayer. I knelt over here and I felt just the genuineness, the warmness of the presence of the Lord. Even before then, this morning, in my study, I just felt the Lord so strong. I leaned back for a moment and just absorbed and just reflected on His goodness. And I'm thankful today that God hasn't quit. God hasn't dried up. Amen. Liberty is still for us today in the Holy Ghost. And God's still ready to do it. Everybody say amen. Come on. Amen. Is this an apostolic church? Praise God. Amen. If you're not going to give me apostolic amen, give me a Baptist nod. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's so good to have some folks from Arkansas here. But celebrating 7 years of marriage. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Praise God. We're so thankful that they're with us. We're going to the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts does not have a formal ending. And the word Acts is just short for the actions of the apostles, the actions of the church. And I believe, this is me, I believe this, that the reason why the book of Acts does not have an ending because we're supposed to be helping writing the rest of it. The church ought to be the one that is acting and letting God use us. And when that word acting, it don't mean pretending, but put into action the things of God. Praise God. And when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Look what He's done for you. Look what He's gave you. Will He find, when He comes, will He find you sitting on that one talent, or will He see you, amen, cultivating, planting, and bringing forth a great harvest for His kingdom? Acts the 3rd chapter, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We're going to read it again. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. It looks like here that in order to have your sins blotted out, in order to have your refreshing, you first got to be, you got to repent of your sins. And today I want to just preach a simple message, just something simple. But friend, the simplicity of the gospel still works. I'm telling you, the simplicity of the gospel still works. Amen. All the messages years ago were powerful because they were simple. Amen. Praise God. And the truth still works in all situations. I want to preach today about the gift of repentance. The gift of repentance. And you'll understand a little bit more about it in just a moment. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down? Turn to somebody before you do that. Or before we do anything else, look at them and say, we are blessed people. Look at somebody else and say, you're blessed. You're blessed. And would you lift your hands and thank the Lord for that blessing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you today for the privilege and, Lord, the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and power, Lord, what you've done for us. I love you and I worship you, Jesus. I thank you today, God, for your fire. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your mercy. God, I give you praise and I give you honor. I give you thanks today. In Jesus' name, would you give the Lord a hand of praise? Come on, would you give Him a real applaud? Applaud the Lord. Woo! Amen. You may be seated today. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I want that time of refreshing in my soul. The word repent is often used today in different ways where people have taken and twisted it. But to repent is to change your mind and to change your purpose and to change your direction and change your ownership. Amen. Somebody said, nobody owns me. That's right. A lot of times the only person owning you is yourself. Amen. But I want God to have ownership. How about you? Repentance means that you're taking your hands off and saying, God, I need your hands on. Amen. We talk about hands-on experiences. Hands-on learning is the best type of learning. And today, God wants to have hands-on in your life. Many people don't want the hand of God. They don't want God to teach them. They know it all. We think we do. The moment that you think you know something is the moment that you don't. Come on now. Amen. So in order to really get to that place with God, there still needs to be repentance. Come on now. Am I in an apostolic church? How many still believes that the word of God says you still have to repent? Come on, I got to see if this congregation is real. Repent. Repentance is a change of mind and purpose. And a turn to God. Really a return to God. We belong to God. And when something is stolen, it's supposed to be returned to its owner. Mankind, I want to tell you, saint, you belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to the world. You belong to God. It's time to return what's God's to God. Are you thankful that God still accepts returns? Now, there's times that I've been places where you bought something. Maybe it was the wrong size or whatever. And when you go to bring it back, they said, we don't accept returns. You're stuck with it. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, you're not stuck as long as you got a God that's for you. You can repent of your sins. I'm glad that we're not stuck in our old ways. Amen. Oh, Brother Fancher, every time, I still remember it. Your testimony. The first time I ever heard Brother Fancher's testimony, he was preaching in the jail with us. Brother, that still burns in my heart. How that here he was laid up after a severe accident, supposed to lose his leg. And when he woke up, there was an old preacher man at the foot of his bed, sitting there. And Fred, I'm glad that God looked at an Eddie Fancher and said, Eddie, you belong to me. You don't belong in the world. And God took a return that day. Look what God can do when we just let God be God. God has something for you today. The gift of God is repentance. Now, I want to just go into this today. It says, repent, you therefore be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out. I want my sins to be wiped out completely. I want to tell you, the old condemner, the old man wants to look at you, the old self. And Satan begins to work with condemnation to tell you, you're unfit, you're damaged, you're broken, you're messed up. But God says, hey, you still belong to me. I still want you. If you want your sins blotted out, amen, it still comes by repenting of your sins. Amen. Repentance. That the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Anybody here with asthma? Have you ever been short of breath? Has anybody ever been stuck underneath the water before swimming? Hung up? Anybody's ever been hung up underneath the water? We went on a little canoe trip several years ago. Brother Cooley and Sister Cooley were here. Their kids were little. And we decided, we had, Isaac was probably about 5. We went to Village Creek outside of Silsby. The Cooleys, they had been before, and they said, oh, y'all got to go. We packed a little ice chest, put it in our canoe. We had Isaac in between us. He had a life jacket on. Village Creek, the water was up just a little bit. And you know just as well as myself, all these creeks around here, Angelina River, all these little areas, when the water goes up, there's a lot of brush in that, a lot of debris. And here we were canoeing, and the water had a good flow because the river's up. So we got to a place that our canoe, my wife's in the front. Isaac, being as a 5-year-old, he's sitting in between us. and I'm in the back. And with me having a little bit of capacity or weight, we come across a fallen tree, a log, and the canoe is hung up. And with the current and me, the bulkiness, sitting right there, guess what's happening? The water from the current is starting to get in the boat. I grew up around water. I grew up around things I know. So I knew that I felt underneath, and I felt that limb, that big old tree. I said, you know, I told my wife, I said, I got to get out of this thing and let it go. I stepped out of the canoe and put my foot on that limb, and that canoe shot out from underneath my legs. And I decided, I said, well, I'm going to just dive in and swim to where she's at. The canoe ended up on the side of the bank in a little shallow area. When I dove in, I did not realize that big old tree was there. And one of the limbs caught me right here, stuck underneath my collar behind my head. I'm underneath the water, and remember, there's current. I don't care how big you are, how bulky you are, there's something about current begins to push you. I look up, I'm about this far underneath the water. I can see the clarity of the water above my head. But my body's causing my collar to twist on the limb. And underneath, the first thing you want to do is start panicking. I've always learned, don't panic when you're in a situation. Think. I'm telling myself, think, boy, think. But I'm about that far under the water, and it seems like time was put in a slow gear. Been there? I know you have. And I'm needing a breath, because whenever I dove in, I thought, man, I just swim right on. But now I'm tangled. I'm underneath this, and the weight of my body is now being pushed downstream, but I'm hung up. And I unbutton the top button, and I start trying to get the limb. And deep in my mind, I said, don't panic. And then my mind taught me something, said, or I remember something I've been taught, don't panic. Look to the source that's causing the problem. And I remember it's a limb about this big. And from that limb, it had just a little knob that's holding. I start trying to break that knob, that little broken limb off. It won't break underneath the water. It's very tough. And I realized the only way to do this is to pull back, put a little slack. Finally, I worked myself back. And this has all happened in microseconds, you know. But it seems like a long time. And I finally got loose. When I got loose, I popped up and got a breath. And by that time, I felt my pants hang up on another limb. But I shook it off real quick before it could snag me. When I got to the top, it was a victory for me. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, before I knew it, I was on safety. But that moment, that time where I needed that breath, I can remember thinking, God, I'm going to drown right here. I'm going to drown. My wife and my kid just watched me go under. Here I am, and we're in the middle of nowhere. We're about 7 miles from a bridge where we're supposed to be. But it was there. I'm so thankful for that breath that came. When I broke loose, the Bible says in Acts the 3rd chapter, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you could get the time, the refreshing, amen, that breath of air, that reviving air. Come on, you've been in that place, those of you that have been shortness of breath, and you try to catch your breath. You'll never catch your breath till you finally turn to God. And, you know, when somebody starts out the wrong direction, when somebody begins to compromise, it feels good. You think, man, everything's okay. I'm doing good here. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are how long? Well, those seasons don't last long. I've seen them before. It don't take long, and I don't know why. Backsliders always become the worst, you know? Just a regular old sinner is just as calm as could be, but a backslider becomes such a crusted, thorny, vile spirit. When they become a drunk, they become a bad drunk. When they get on dope, they become something messed up. You know the reason why? Because they belong to God. Amen. And now the enemy is having a heyday in their life. The enemy wants to restrict them. The enemy wants to bind them. And friend, I'm thankful that there is a God that says, hold it, but I have a gift for you. I don't care how bad off you are. I don't care how far you've gone. Amen. I still want you to make it. I'm glad that God don't give up. I've given up. I've thrown in the towel. I quit before. I've tried in my efforts to do things and was unsuccessful. But I'm thankful that God just keeps on loving and trying to reach me. Are you thankful for the goodness and the hand of a great shepherd in your life, that God did not give up on you? Even today, the gift of God is still available. The gift of repentance is still a beautiful thing to me. Well, you look at it. Most people think gifts are tangible, something you hold, touch, taste. And they think it's like a present or a favor. But one of the greatest gifts is the ability to turn to God and turn it over to God. I want to tell you, that's still the greatest thing. You ever been in a battle? Even a battle of life where you felt so rotten, so undone, so frustrated. Amen. Isn't it beautiful to be able to turn the battle to God? What about your life? You can't live your life the way that the world's taken and pulling people and expect the blessings of God. It still takes giving over to God and letting God have his will in your life. Oh, what joy it is when you finally give up and give over to God. There's a song. I heard it all my life. Give up. And let Jesus take over. Give up. And let Jesus. See, the Lord's not going to take over and be a tyrant. But you got to give up. And you got to let Jesus. Amen. How wonderful. Amen. But there have been opportunities that has been granted. But we got to understand that repentance is as a gift. And the nature of repentance is this. It's not merely just feeling guilty or sorry. I believe godly sorrow worketh repentance. Hear me. But there's been people that were weeping. There's people that cried in a church and come to an altar and cried. But it takes more than tears. It takes more than just anguish and sorrowfulness. It still takes a turning. It takes a giving up. Somebody still has to let go of some things. I want you to think about a man in the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Esau, he sold his birthright. Later, he sought to have it back, but he couldn't, even though he sought it with tears. He tried to find it. He wept. Do you know, even in the Word of God, it says after Judas realized what he did, he repented. But you know what that word repent there in the word in Greek? Does it mean the same word that we just read a while ago, repent and be converted? That word means to express sorrow, regret. But the true word of repentance means to die, to give over and to say, God, I'm dead, I'm done. My question today, are we going to be the ones like Esau and Judas that just said, oh? Are we going to be the ones that said, I'm done? I'm glad that God takes done lives. I'm glad that God takes worn out lives. Even lives that is thrown and broken and lives that's made a horrible wreck. Are you thankful that God still takes wrecks? I'm telling you, God still takes returns today. I don't care how bad it is. God still cares about you. Hallelujah. I worked at Walmart, three different Walmarts. And every Walmart has a policy, a return policy. You have to have the receipt. And it's crazy how many times I worked there years ago. And one time I had to work the desk where they take returns. And a lady brought a pair of shoes. Those shoes were scuffed up, well-worn. She wanted her money back. And I looked at them. The condition of those shoes were terrible. I turned around and I went and got my supervisor and I said, she wants to return these shoes and she has worn these things. They are scuffed. They're bad. I mean, you could even see her footprint on the inside, the indentions of her footprint. The manager came up and looked at the shoes, looked at the lady, said, ma'am, that's not new. Where's your receipt? I lost it. I'm sorry, we can't return it. But I think that there's hope in Jesus Christ that I don't care how worn out you were, Brother KT. I don't care how bad we are and how much of a receipt that we don't have of genuineness. Amen. I'm thankful that God will take us in our old broken, miserable life, that he looks at you, you're worn out. Amen. You've abused your life. You're taken in, went the wrong direction. You were foolish. You were crazy. You went the wrong way. You were rebellious. But I'm thankful that God still takes returns. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand of praise for that return. We got to understand repentance, how beautiful it is. Repentance is not just crying. And I've been in emotional times where I've been called to sit before somebody and they committed adultery or fornication and they were weeping, or they got in trouble with the law. They're weeping, they're crying, they're snotting. And a lot of times we get that in the jail. It's called jailhouse repentance. You know, they'll repent because they got caught. It's like the little boy with his hand in the cookie jar. He's not sorry that he got that cookie. He's sorry that he got caught. But the true type of repentance that we're dealing with today is whenever you get done with the way you've been doing and you finally say yes to God. I'm telling you, in the book, still the book. In the plan of God, still the plan. We belong to God, saint. Amen. We belong to him. It's time for us to return to our maker. This is the reason why God made us, that we could be his, that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I'm thankful today for God, amen, that he still takes returns. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Prodigal son, when he came back, well, he was a filthy wretch. I imagine the clothes that he had on when he left there, by that time he went, his suitcase and all that was all messed up. And I mean, he probably didn't even have a suitcase when he come back. His bags were empty. He spent all that he had in riotous living. Broke now. I see a lot of people hit bottom. And they say they're broke, but they're not broken. You know what, God, when he takes a return, you got to be broken. Because a lot of people, when they're broke, they want God to take them and help them out. They want God to get them out of the bottom, but they're not broken. God wants you to be broken. That you say, Lord, I am irreparable the way I am. I can't make it the way I am. There's no possibility or potential for me. I'm glad that God does take that, like the potter, crush that vessel. You're made of clay. But when the master takes a hold of you, he knows how to make a brand new creature out of you. Amen. He knows how to restore your heart. He knows how to work. I'm telling you, what a gift that God has given us. Amen. That he would take your brokenness. He would take you when you're finally at your last wit's end and you turn to God. The prodigal came back. He knew where he belonged. He didn't say, I want to live next door. He said, I want to go back to Father's house. Amen. There's no place like the hands of God. There's no place like the dwelling place of God. Amen. Somebody ought to lift your hands. I'm telling you, there's nothing like being able to praise God and worship God and have the hands of God reaching around you in Father's arms. There's nothing like the robe of righteousness put back on you. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise God with me right now. Somebody needs to thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why did not Esau and Judas, they repented? Or Esau tried to find it and he couldn't find it. Judas, scripture said he was sorrowful. And that word repent there again, it's not the same Greek word as the other one. See, the New Testament was written in Greek. Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Chaldean. A little bit Aramaic. New Testament's in Greek. When you look at the how it's translated from the Greek to the English, we got a lot of words like love. Love, you can love your dog, you can love your neighbor and love your wife, and it all means something different. You can love cheese, but it all means something different, the different words. And I may not be using a good example, but when we look at the Word of God in the English language is very difficult. And when you study the Word of God, you got to know what it's saying. And I had somebody tell me one time, well, Judas repented, so that means Jesus saved him. No, the Bible says Judas went and hung himself and went to his own place. Read it. When we are ours and we hang on to us and we don't belong to the master, there's a place reserved for those that don't want to return to him. I'm glad that God has a reservation for those, amen, that will keep, amen, his word. Those that will return to him. Those that will fall before God. Amen. Just like the prodigal's father says, bring forth the best. My son that was lost is now home. He's returned. Are you thankful that day that grace came for you and grace washed you and cleansed your life and God forgave you of your sins? Think about it as a gift. God don't have to, but he has. Understand the nature of repentance. There's an invitation, an emphasis that repentance is a gift of God. When you study it, it's a definite gift of God. An invitation to come restore your relationship with him. And without God's grace, true repentance would be impossible. It takes the work of God. But see, God is a gentleman. God's not going to take over you and clean you and take you down and scrub you. No. You got to come and let God. You got to open the door for God to work in your life. But repentance, there's no way around it. I was visiting with two men, they were men my age the other day. We were discussing this. And they've now come to a conclusion, one of them has at least, that it ain't just believing on Christ and accepting Christ as your personal Savior. That there's more to it than just confessing with your mouth. And I told him, I said, there is no way around repentance. There's no way around having to repent and give your life up and turn to God. You got to be sorry. You got to be broke and broken. Well, after being around this man now for some time, the other day he reminded me. He said, you remember that day you came here and you started talking to me about repentance and true repentance and how, oh yes, we need to confess our sins, but we need to turn ourselves in with that. He said, you know, you opened up a new channel for me of understanding. He said, all my life I've been raised where you go to church and you just admit that you're a sinner and that's it. And I told him, I said, if you don't admit, submit, and commit, what good is it? Repentance will have it admitting, God, I need you. But it also has a submission to it. You got to submit yourself, therefore, to God, and you got to give yourself over. Now, it's an absolute necessity for salvation for us to repent. We well know that. Acts 17:30 says, and the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth every man everywhere to what? Somebody say repent. He's not commanding just some in this certain group. He's commanding every man everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody say all, should come to repentance. Repentance is the basic doctrine of the Word of God. That return. Returning to God. It's preparing our hearts for God. There must be a clearing away of self, not just the sin. I want to say this today. You can surrender your sin and not surrender yourself. God's wanting yourself to be surrendered. And before good seed can be planted, all the weeds and the rocks, all the sins must be finally given up to God. John the Baptizer, the very introduction to the new covenant or the New Testament, was John's call to repentance. The call to repentance. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He preached repentance. Before the Lord could ever come to your life, you need to prepare by repentance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus himself preached repentance. He preaches, except you repent, you're going to perish. There's no way again around repentance. It's more than just an emotion, friend. I'm going to say it again. Most people associate repentance with only just emotional shedding of tears, groanings, and weepings. And I believe we need more of that. Where's repentance at today? Where's groaning and moaning and weeping? We haven't seen that kind of stuff very much anymore. Those of you elders, I remember when people, man, they got a conviction, but you better get out of their way. They ran to an altar. I mean, has you ever seen anybody run to an altar before? Anybody? Anybody else seen that? I know, Mama. Mama, raise your hand up high. I want to see it. Man, you know what we need in this hour? Where people get ashamed of their sin and ashamed of themselves and run to God and give up. Amen. Where is conviction in this hour? Where people think they could get by and play around and do whatever. Repentance is still an order from heaven. But it's more than just an emotion. It's to change your direction. Give up. And let God. But I want to tell you, it still has remorse in it. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of my past, I said. And I was raised in church, raised in a godly home. But friend, even the little lies were still lies. Even the little rebellion was still rebellion. Amen. I want to tell you, sin is sin. I don't care what container you put it in. It's still sin. And I'm glad God still forgives us. Somebody say amen. You know, Esau despised his birthright or didn't really care about the value of it. That it was so easy for him to barter off and sell and trade. And then realization hit. But there was no way to go back. There's some regrets. There's some consequences that you can never bring back. But Esau's problem was he could have never regained his birthright. But if Esau would have just turned himself in and repented of himself, I believed he would have found a better position in his life instead of becoming a bitter man. Bitterness will take you on a ride that you don't want to go. Who said it? Bitterness is an acid that eats up the container inside of it. I'm here today to tell somebody, I'm thankful for the gift of God. I'm thankful for the gift of repentance. I'm thankful that I have a God that's on my side this morning. Amen. Bitterness will eat a person. I'm telling you, bitterness grows. The Bible says there's a root of bitterness springing up. And it defiles not just you, it'll defile many. Come on, I need somebody out there today. Come on. This is not first grade class. It's the house of God. And the Word of God's still the truth. Praise God. You know what? There was another in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 21. Talking about the wicked and perverse Queen Jezebel. You know, the Bible says the Lord gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God gave her an opportunity. Opportunity is the best thing you got going for you. Somebody said, how do you know there's hope? If you got a pulse, there's hope today. If you got breath in your life, there's hope. This wicked queen, Jezebel, the fornication that is talking about right there is not just sexual fornication. It's talking about spiritual fornication. Israel, that area belonged to God. Worship did not belong to Baal. Worship did not belong to idols. Worship did not belong out of the context of the Word of God. But Ahab and Jezebel were perverted. They fornicated spiritually. The Lord gave them a window of opportunity for Jezebel to repent. That space, the Revelation says she did not seize the opportunity. I want to tell you, it's important to make wise decisions before it's too late. Regret is always a feeling that you feel, but it's too late. I'm glad that God gives us grace and an opportunity to turn from potential regrets to the guiding hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gift. Hallelujah. What a gift that day. Hallelujah. Amen. When the Lord said, hey, come to me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. What a gift that God still has when we finally give up and let Jesus take over. You know, there's a hope beyond regret. Man, I regret my past. How many has lives, in your life you have a lot of regrets for some things you've done? I mean, we got regrets. Man, train load full of them. Brother Coon, the Lord gives us a hope that is far beyond regrets. Woohoo! No wonder you go to that place next door, huh? Because there's a hope. You have a well of hope that you can go to every day and draw from it. It's like every day going to the bank and the Lord says, I got a great allowance for you. It's better than what you had yesterday. Amen. I want to tell you, it gets sweeter as the days go by. I'm thankful today for that hope that God has that is so much greater beyond our regrets. There's healing and hope instead of just the penalty of regret. Yeah, we have regret. But God has given us an open door. Our Savior has come, given us a space to repent. And when we understand that great gift of repentance, how beautiful it is. Let me just say this. We may understand grace, but if we don't embrace grace, what good is grace? God's patience and his kindness is still at work today. Romans 2:4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. The kindness is a gift of God. I don't want to ever take lightly that space of opportunity that God has given me. You got one life. Everybody say, you got one life. You got one opportunity. You got one chance. Carmen, you got one opportunity of life. There's some people God has blessed. I looked at Isaac. I look at the car, the picture of that truck every week. People walk up to me and ask me about it. And people that don't even have the Holy Ghost, judges, highway patrolmen, people on the street. You know the Justice of the Peace, Kerry Dunn Williamson, Precinct 1, when he passed in front of Isaac's wreck, he called the deputy that was there and he said, Shane, I'm on duty. Do I need to turn around? Shane said, no, the boy's sitting outside of his car. I'm thankful for the second chances and third chances. But you got one opportunity with those chances. How many times God has to bid for you and reach for you? I'm thankful today that I got a little common sense today. I need the grace of God. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Amen. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. I want to have that no turning back feeling in my heart. I need the power of God. The grace of God, the goodness of God. Man, we got to act upon it. Act now. Embrace that gift. Scripture says today's the day of salvation. A great response is all what it takes. No, God's intention is not just to lead you through the door. God wants to lead you all the way to the shore. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. We need a treasure and act upon this gift. Man, and when you finally give up, when you finally say, God, I've had enough. I'm sick and tired the way I've been living. How beautiful. You know, when we turn it all to God. God turns his face to those that turn to him. And God will turn you around. God will turn your situations around. And God will let a fresh root of mercy be planted in your heart and your life. Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it did not stop there, Brother KT. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to be thankful today. I keep on a challenge. I feel like a cheerleader up here trying to tell you, come on, victory's yours. You don't have to stay up on the losing side. You don't have to be a loser. Look what Jesus has done for you. You ought to thank God today for grace. Amen. It's a privilege to turn to God. But the greater gift is what God does when you do it. The work of God starts working in your life. How amazing. I like good conclusions. Man, any of you out of here ever read Where the Red Fern Grows? Anybody read that book? Man, I was probably about 7, 8 years old. And I can remember that book as a little boy. Reading that book, I like hunting. I like dogs. Back in those hunting dogs, and I remember reading that book. And finally, I got to the last part, and I cried. I went and hid and cried because of those dogs. So, one of my younger brothers liked to read. His name was Jay. A little bit later, he grew up just a little bit where he could read. And I asked him, I said, have you read that book? And somehow or another, he got that book and started reading it. And I couldn't wait. I said, I want to see if it affects him like it affects me. And I looked over there when he was getting to the end. All of a sudden, I seen him. Well, you know, I'm glad that he had the same effect. Years later, when Joel was young man, little boy, Joel read the Red Fern, and I kind of camped out to watch what would happen to Joel. And he came to the same conclusion, Brother Danny. I watched Joel all of a sudden start, and I'm looking at him, and I'm not laughing, but, you know, I'm just observing. And I'm glad when people come to the same conclusion than I did. Amen to the Word of God. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a miserable wreck. But I'm thankful that God has a conclusion that is not a fairy tale. This is not just a story. Your life is not just a video game that it's over and it's over. Eternity only begins when we end. This is eternal. But let me just say this today. There were books that we read as a kid. And I can remember my mama reading books to us. And I've read to my children. Now I get to read to my grandbabies. And there is always a conclusion that I really like. I don't like bad conclusions. I don't like when you have to bury the dogs and you cry and snot. But I like it when it says, and they lived happily ever after. Woo. I believe in the Holy Ghost that we can live happily ever after when we finally let go and let Jesus take over. This is not a fairy tale this morning. We got a God that says, I want you to have happiness, but I don't want you to just be happy here, but it's happy forever and ever and ever after. Amen. Oh, the Bible says this. The angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner. Heaven gets happy when we repent of our sins, because it's a death of self. But finally, that return is brought back to God. How amazing it is when that which was lost, like the one sheep that the shepherd left the 99, and he finally found. Come on up, Sister Kristen. He rejoices. He has a party because that one was found. Are you thankful today that God found you just in time? Amen. Oh, I used to like to hear it. And my dad used to like it. My dad was not good, too good of a singer, but he meant it from his heart. I watched him weep when he sung this. And he would just sing it in the car, sing around the house. I was going down for the last time, and no one heard my cry. But I thank God that he found me just in time. Hallelujah. You're thankful that he found you just in time. Hallelujah. You're thankful that he's still a God that is on time today. I want to just encourage somebody. You feel down and out? You feel messed up? You feel broken? You're at a good place if you're broken. More than just broke. Man, I get knocks on that door every week. Brother Zach was here. Brother Zach's preaching in Jasper today. But if he was here, he would tell you every week, somebody's going to knock on that door. Somebody's going to call the church. Sometimes, I think last year, the most in 1 week, I think it was like eight people come knocking on the door. I need somebody to help me pay my bills. One old gal, I mean, she's just a huffing and puffing. Sister Marlboro, I mean, I don't have no money. She's got enough money to buy cigarettes. She was broke, but she wasn't broken. You know, and I'm that type. If they're really, truly hungry, and if they're really, truly thirsty, and they're really, truly broken, I'm going to do my best to help. But I don't like to be lied to. I don't like to be messed with. And God don't want you to mess around with him by just saying, God, I'm broke. I need you to bail me out. And for you to go back like that pig to the same old pig pen. But I'm thankful that God says, woo! Here's a return. I've been waiting on. Hallelujah. My son that was lost and dead is now found. Stand with me, saint of God. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Oh, you ought to thank God for his mercy and his goodness and grace this morning. Thank the Lord for his hand that pulls us. Amen. Just in time, just in time, just in time, just in time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just in time. Great gift. It's a gift that nobody opens up and nobody explores, it seems like. Nobody wants to be truly returned to your maker. But how beautiful it is when you turn to him and return to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need some of our senior saints. I want y'all to come and sit on the altars. If you're above 60, I want you to come sit up here. We still have a way to go, Brother Fancher. Not too far on. Sister Riley, it's worth every mile. It's worth every mile. It's worth every trial. It's worth every heartache. It's worth every bit of frustration. It's worth every hurt. Hallelujah. Brother Martin, it's worth it. It's worth it, Brother Corbin. Brother Riley, worth it. Brother Boyd, it's worth it. Brother Atkins, it's worth it. Saints in this place, it's worth it. It's worth it. Whenever you run to God, I gave them first tonight, this morning. I want the rest of us to come up here. Hallelujah. 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 Would you let the Lord put his robe around you right now? You need to feel peace. You need to feel Father's heart. Everybody wants Father's house. They want to get to heaven, but they don't want Father's arms around them. They don't want Father's robe. But everybody wants Father's house. To get the Father's house, you got to get the Father's heart. And get in Father's arms right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, would you just reach to him? Would you just reach to him? Come on. He's here. Reach to Father. Let him draw you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just love the Lord back. Come on, love him. Come on, God's been waiting to love on you, to help you. Just like you've been anticipating Father's house, he's been anticipating you to be there with him. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Won't you just love the Lord, sister? Love the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shepherd love you.
Eyes of love.
Let him help you. Let him strengthen you. Let him encourage you. That which was broken. That which was unfit. My son that was lost. My son that was dead.
Amazing grace.
It's now returned. To forgive us, but his goodness, his grace is here to forgive us. Come on, it's been his plan for you to return.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, I'd be an empty.
Give him thanks. Come on, give him thanks from your heart.
Where would I
be? Thank you, Jesus.
You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. I'd be an empty place if not for
Scripture said he restoreth our soul. Restoreth. You feel like Lately, you've been needing refreshing. You feel like you hadn't been able to catch your breath. Amen. Would you let the Lord restore your soul right now? Come on, the Lord's here to do that. Hallelujah. Come on, let Him restore your soul. Let Him restore. Let Him recharge your heart. Hallelujah. As the Holy Ghost begins to come on you, I want you to let the Holy Ghost use you. Somebody needs to pray in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. It's okay to pray in the Holy Ghost when it comes on you. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Lord refresh you. Let the Lord restore you. Come on, let Him restore some things in your life. Let Him restore some hope in your life. Jesus. Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. Pastor, it's too hard to go back and fix some things I've done. Come on, the Lord's here to help you. Come on, He'll take brokenness. He'll take worn out lives. He'll take lives that's done foolish choices. That's messed up a whole lot. Come on, the Master's here right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and power, Lord. I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not too long ago, I heard a beautiful little illustration story that really happened. A little couple with their kids, they traveled on vacation to a little spot, and their little three-year-old daughter, grandma had given a doll to this little girl. And this doll, grandma had when she was a girl. And this was the first granddaughter, so she gave that little girl. The little girl told her that doll. And they were on vacation. They stayed at a hotel. It was in Branson. And somehow or another, they couldn't find the doll after they left. Got in the car, got home. They start looking. Where's the doll? They looked at the house. They looked at the stuff, looked at the car. And they come to the conclusion, we probably left it in Branson. Next year, they had such a good time that they decided to go back. They stayed in the same hotel. This time, Grandma went with them. Grandma stayed in the room with them and the grandkids and mom and daddy. When they checked in, it was all at the desk just to bring their luggage up. And the daddy said, last year we stayed here, and by chance, did y'all find a little doll? So they wasn't just an old doll. And the owner of the place said, we have lost and found. And he said, yesterday, I was going through the lost and found, and I seen that doll that's been there. And I was thinking, I need to go put it in one of these little bins that you give to whatever. And he said, but something told me, just leave it there. And the man reached in and pulled out Susie. That little girl's eyes, now she's grown 1 year older, but she's got grandma with her. that precious possession of Susie back in their arms. They tell me that that little girl cried, grandma cried, mama cried, daddy cried, and they looked at the hotel manager and he was crying. I'm glad that heaven's rejoicing today because we have a great God. I'm thankful he's returned. Amen. He has a return for us. Amen. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you. My heart rejoices this morning that God still cares. God still knows where we're at. Amen. He still loves us. Lift your hands again, saint. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, hallelujah. Oh God. I got more. You got more. You got more to go to heaven for than you had yesterday. If God was good yesterday, it's better today. You got more to go to heaven for, Brother Martin. You got more to go to heaven for. We've had people here, and when they reached a certain age, they gave up. I know a man, that precious man, that has given up. We come to church. It's a precious man. Shocked me being around him. The words that came out of his mouth when I went to visit him. You know what? If it was good enough back then, it's still good enough today. But I got more to go to heaven for than I did yesterday. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. God bless you today. I love my church family. Sheep, I love you. Amen. I pray that you pray for your pastor. Amen. Pray for your church family. Amen. We want to go to heaven, don't we? But we need to get there. How? God bless you today in Jesus' name.